planning a trip to Orlando? Don't forget to visit Cocoa Beach, Orlando's closest beach. With its legendary beach vibes, sunny shores, and entertainment options, Cocoa Beach is a must-see on your to-do list. Ride the waves, stroll the iconic pier, watch a beautiful sunset, or just kick back with your toes in the sand. Add a little salt water to your Sunshine State adventure at Cocoa Beach, Orlando's closest beach. Learn more at LegendaryCocoBeach.com. That's LegendaryCocoBeach.com.
Welcome, everybody, and welcome, fellow patriots. Welcome, fellow deplorables. Welcome, all you dregs of society, you rock dwellers, you sick offense and stinkers, you mega Nazis, no matter what they call you. You always need to know you're always welcome here. And this is the Conservative Commanders Radio Show. And I'm Rick Trader, coming to you from the My Pillow Studios, the My Store Studios of the AUN TV Network. And joining me today as my co-host is Sharon Angle, the patriot from the battleground state, the battleborn state, the silver state of Nevada. And Sharon, welcome back. Welcome back to Conservative Commandos.
Thank you, Rick. It's always fun for me to hear you talk about my patriotism in Nevada, battleborn state, silver state. Those are patriotic things that kind of get our little hearts moving toward our state and how to serve our state better and just be better citizens. But I wanted to, you know, that just reminds me that Donald Trump signed a new executive order.
Sharon, before you go any further, let me just say this. You know what amazes me about the Western states? Now, the Western states like Nevada and California and Oregon and Washington, Colorado, we're settled by hardworking people. I mean, really hardworking people, people that worked and strived and suffered and sweated and suffered from muscle aches and all that. And yet today they're liberal.
Yeah.
They're liberal. I mean, you would think that the heirs that came out of such hardworking ancestry would think a little different, wouldn't you? Same thing with Massachusetts and Connecticut. You know,
the
birthplace of the country. Right. I mean, Massachusetts is where the American Revolution started. And my gosh, you know, it's one of the most liberal places on the face of the earth. You know, there's not a single Republican congressional representative from the state of Massachusetts. And these people created a country on limited government or limiting government, on limiting taxation or no taxation. And look at today. I mean, it's anyway, I'll
look at it today.
That's my little thingy.
That's where I kind of wanted to go, because the latest executive order, the latest executive order of President Trump has to do with not desecrating the flag, right? It says that there are laws against flag burning, and he has now told the Attorney General, Pam Bondi, he wants her to prosecute those cases, that when people desecrate the flag, it is a violation of these laws, and he wants her to go after them. I think that's a great idea. I think that it's time that we tell protesters there's a limit, right? There's just a limit to the anti-American targeting that they can do. They burn the American flag in anti-Israel rallies. They burn the American flag in anti-ICE protests. They think that somehow the shock value of burning our flag will draw people to them.
You're triggering me, Sharon. You're triggering me. Because if you burn a rainbow flag, guess what? You're going to be up for hate crime. You're going to be up for hate crime if you burn the rainbow flag. But you can burn the American flag. No problem with that.
Well, and now they're talking about how the right, this move by President Trump has given rare conservative backlash. That's what they're talking about, rare conservative backlash. So I'm thinking, okay, what conservatives jumped on board and said, it's okay to burn the American flag? Well, I don't know these guys. Colin Wright, an evolutionary biologist, wrote an article saying banning the flag burning is absurd. It's anti-free speech and peak snowflake behavior. I would never burn the American flag because of what it symbolizes to me, but the act of banning and burning of it runs contrary to American values. I thought, who is this guy? Colin Wright, evolutionary biologist. I've never heard of him as a leader of the conservative movement. How about radio host Jesse Kelly, who opposed the order, saying, I would never in a million years harm the American flag, but a president telling me I can't has me as close as I've ever been to lighting one on fire. Oh, another radio host, Dana Loesch, added, flag burning is vile, but the government has no right to control speech or expression.
Isn't it arson?
Well, it's against the law to burn the flag. So here, now we're starting to get into some maybe conservative commentator. Eric Erickson said, this is actually not brilliant. While I agree with the sentiments, unfortunately, well-settled constitutional law that burning the flag is a matter of free speech, and the executive does not have the right, does not get to create crimes. Red State writer Bonchi said, I know nothing matters, and you aren't allowed to criticize your own side, but I'd like to return to a time when presidents didn't sign unconstitutional executive orders. And then Kimberly Ross at the Washington Examiner said, I don't think the federal government should take equity stakes in companies. The First Amendment protection applies to the burning of the flag as much as I abhor that action. And then it just goes on. Some podcasters. Let's see, I was trying to think if there was anybody that I really respected on the conservative side that was protesting this order of Trump's to enforce the law. Flag burning is against the law. Simple. It's against the law. It may not be in the Constitution, but they're going a little further to say that the Constitution protects flag burning. I don't think it does. It's against the law. So,
well, Sharon, you know, it's sometimes you die on a theory, all right? Yeah. I think a lot of these people are dying on a theory. I just checked out something. Burning the rainbow flag. Burning the rainbow flag is an act of flag desecration, often used as a political protest or symbolic insult against LGBTQ rights or the people associated with the movement. This act has occurred at various protests, such as during Independence Day marches in Warsaw, where Polish nationalists trampled and spat on and burned the flag. I mean, Sharon, I've said this before, and in particular when talking about the national anthem. Do you remember all the people that were kneeling at the national anthem, disrespecting the national anthem?
Yes.
I said at that time, you would think, all right, there's many, many, many differences in our country today. But you would think the one place that we could get together is that our national anthem? Is that our flag?
That our love of country, our patriotism, right?
Right. Let's at least unify at that. And then we can go our separate ways and have our differences and stuff like that. Here you go. Groups of teens face hate crimes, charges for flag vandalism. A group of kids that burned a rainbow flag, they're facing hate crime charges. Get that. Atlanta police charged 14 teens with hate crimes for vandalizing pride flags. All right, it's ridiculous. 14 from outside Atlanta face multiple charges for vandalizing pride flags in Midtown, including obstruction, criminal damage to property, conspiracy. I mean, this is for burning a gay flag, which is nothing more than a beach towel, all right? You know, the one thing that I really hate about the LGBTQ movement is they've taken such a beautiful symbol and made it evil, in my opinion, in my opinion. You know, it's funny, whenever I see anything these days that is multicolored, like a t-shirt or anything, I have to question, well, is this people saying that they're supporting the gay movement? You know, the other day, Mary and I went for a drive, and we ended up in this little town. I love it. It's called Titusville. It's right on the Delaware River, just north of Washington Crossing State Park, outside of Trenton, New Jersey. And it amazed me that some people were flying the American flag. More people were flying the gay flag. And those people had these signs, welcome, 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 welcome. You know what I would love to do, Sharon, and I wanted to get your opinion on this. You know, here goes another one of my diabolical ideas, all right? How about if we publish the addresses of all the people that had these welcome signs and create a website? We welcome illegal immigrants here. Let's post the addresses of all these people that have all these signs. Hate has no home here. Everyone is welcome here. Let's see how they like it. Someone shows up to the door and say, look, I'm moving in. Another diabolical idea, right, Sharon?
Another diabolical idea. Well, it smacks at the doxing that was going on for Patriots. Aimed at patriots who supported, for instance, the legal definition of marriage. Remember that in California, they were burning crosses on their lawns and publishing their names and addresses so that people could find them to do that kind of damage to their property. That's what you're talking about, that we don't do it that way. We allow these things and even allow the breaking of the law, which is what the president is saying. He says Article U.S. Code 700, desecration of the flag of the United States and its penalties. I'll just read that law. Whoever knowingly mutilates, defaces, physically defiles, burns, maintains on the floor or ground, or tramples upon any flag of the United States shall be fined under this title or imprisoned for not more than 1 year or both. This subsection does not prohibit any conduct consisting of the disposal of the flag when it's become worn or soiled. Because as we know, when you have a flag that's torn, worn, soiled, the right way to get rid of it is to burn it. You don't throw it in the trash. It also says, as used of this section, the term flag of the United States means any flag of the United States or any part thereof made of any substance or any size in a form that is commonly displayed. Nothing in this section shall be constructed as indicating an intent on the part of Congress to deprive any state, territory, possession, or Commonwealth of Puerto Rico of jurisdiction over any offense over which it would have jurisdiction in the absence of this section. An appeal may be taken directly to the Supreme Court for any interlocutory or final judgment, decree, or violation of this of subsection. And that's what it says. So I know you have to be very careful about how you wear the flag. If you're wearing a part of the flag on your person, you need to be very careful that you're respectful of what you're doing there, that you don't take that flag in a disrespectful place. So this is the law. It says, whoever knowingly mutilates, defaces physically, defiles, burns, or maintains on the floor of the ground, or tramples upon the flag. So there's a lot here that says, this is wrong. This is wrong. And for these guys to stand up and say it's part of our free speech, this is where the law says this doesn't apply. This is not free speech when you do this knowingly to the flag. And that's all our president is doing, is just standing up for a law of the land, for the symbol of our country. I wonder how, you know, say any other country would react to the burning of their flag. And like you said, we have a flag that we can't burn, not because it's a symbol of our country. It just may offend somebody if you burn that flag.
Sharon, we need to take a break, but on the other side of the break, I want to give some examples of what can happen to you if you burn the gay flag. And this is the Conservative Commanders Radio Show. I'm Rick Trader. My co-host is Sharon Engel. We're coming to you from the MyPillow Studios, the MyStore Studios of the AUN TV network. And by the way, today's show, like each and every one of our shows being brought to you by the First Amendment, is also protected by the Second. Go nowhere, Sharon, and I'll be right back.
Are you having trouble hearing your TV or listening to conversations in loud spaces? Then it might be time to consider Nano hearing aids. The days of expensive hearing aids are over. Nanos are FDA-registered OTC hearing aids. They are powerful, lightweight, and simple to use, and their tiny in-ear design makes them nearly invisible. Plus, they are rechargeable, saving you hundreds of dollars on batteries. Don't be fooled by overpriced hearing aids. Prescription hearing aids could cost $3,000 or more. Nano hearing aids are only $397. But wait, we are so confident you are going to love your Nanos, we are offering $100 off through this special TV offer. Call now and get two CIC rechargeable hearing aids for only $297. You get a free portable charging case, free 24/7 lifetime telephone support, free shipping, and a 45-day money-back guarantee.
Call 855-690-6464. That's 855-690-6464. Call 855-690-6464. That's 855-690-6464. Call 855-690-6464. That's 855-690-6464.
You're still looking good.
I'm still feeling good. You know, I've got all your MyPillow products. Mattress topper, bed sheets, MyPillows, towels, slippers, blankets.
I'm interrupting this commercial to do something I've never done before. Get two MyPillows absolutely free on orders of $100 or more. I can't do this forever, so get on board with this great sale today. Our best-selling six-piece bath towel sets or kitchen towel sets, just $29.98. Our famous standard My Pillows only $14.98. Queens $18.98. King size only a dollar more. Body pillows $29.98. Multi-use My Pillow 2.0s with pillowcase $9.98. Save $40 on our Spring Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets. Any size, any color. So go to MyPillow.com or call that number on your screen. Use your promo code to save up to 80% on all MyPillow products. And when you spend $100 or more, get two standard MyPillows absolutely free.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos with Sharon Engel, and I'm Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow Studios, the MyStore Studios of the AUN TV network. And Sharon, you know, every show I end the first segment by saying today's show is being brought to you by the First Amendment, protected by the Second. Well, we also have to honor somebody else who's helping to keep this show on the air, and that's our dear friend, Fran Knowles, who's made a contribution to Conservative Commandos and the AUN TV network. And it's because of people like Fran Knowles that we hopefully will be able to continue. I say hopefully be able to continue because we got to drop that deadline. We need to raise $2,000 by the end of this month, or September will be our last month on the air. Not just for Conservative Commandos, but for the AUN TV network. And I hear these, you know what, one of my guilty pleasures is listening to classical music. And when Mary and I go outside in the morning, and Sharon, you've joined us on a couple occasions, go outside and have coffee in the beautiful morning like today, like it's been out here on the East Coast for the last couple of days, we like to listen to classical music, and the classical music station out here is NPR. They play beautiful music, but we cannot listen to their news broadcast. You know, at the top of every hour, they have their five-minute news broadcast, and I guarantee you that they are going to lead off by saying something derogatory about Donald Trump, the country, or Republicans. I guarantee you that. So we created the AUN TV network to be the counterbalance of that. Hey, if you want to listen to NPR, great. If you want to take their news as the gospel, great. But we're here to give you the other side of this story. I'm sure NPR today is talking about, oh, how horrible Donald Trump is because he wants to take people's First Amendment rights away from you by banning the burning of the American flag. I guarantee you that's what they're talking about today on NPR. Here on Conservative Commandos, we're also talking about burning the American flag. But contrary to what NPR is talking about today, we're telling you why we think it's wrong. See there? Counterbalance. You want to hear their side of the story? Turn on NPR. You want to hear our side of the story? Turn on Conservative Commandos. Turn on the AUN TV network, and you'll get our side of it. Now, one of the shows we carry on AUN Network is the Jesse Kelly Show, which Sharon referred to. Jesse Kelly said he's against Donald Trump wanting to pass a law burning the American flag. Well, that's Jesse's side of it, all right? This is Sharon's side. This is Rick's side of it. So, but you're only going to get our side of the story by listening to Conservative Commandos in the AUN Network. Therefore, it is important that you support us. You know, all the time here on NPR, we are listener supported. Well, we're listener and viewer supported, and we need to call on you to do what Fran Knowles did, to send a donation to the AUN TV network. And it's easy to do. Go to our website, AUN-TV.com, AUN-TV.com. Right below the banner, you'll see two things. Number one is the red stripe that says Watch AUN TV Live. Click on that. That'll take you to our 24-hour-day, 7-day-week stream on Rumble that you can watch Conservative Commandos or all the great shows we run on the AUN TV network. And just below that, in another red stripe, it says Help AUN TV. Click on that. Make a donation to help us stay on the air. We need 100 patrons that will pledge $30 a month. That's a dollar a day. That's a dollar a day to help bring our side of the story out, to counterbalance what NPR is saying. And by the way, for years and years and years, NPR and PBS government funded. We get no government funding here. We depend on listeners and viewers like you to help us bring out the truth, help us bring out our side of the story. Again, go to our website, aun-tv.com, aun-tv.com. Watch our 24-hour stream, and you can watch that even if you're not near one of our 12 TV towers. As I said, you watch this show and all the shows of AUN, Roger Stone, Danessa Souza, Alan West, Tony Perkins, John Messina. Can watch all the shows on there. And you know what? It's free. But we do need your help. We do need your help to stay alive. We do need your help to continue to tell the truth, our side of the story, to counterbalance the NBCs, ABC, CBS, CNNs, and NPRs. Again, go to aun-tv.com, aun-tv.com. You know, Sharon, just before we went to the break, I talked about burning. What could possibly happen to you if you burn the gay flag? Well, let me tell you what happened to one particular person. Adolfo Martinez admitted to the media that he took the flag from the Ames United Church of Christ due to its due to his animosity towards homosexuals. He was found guilty last month of a hate crime harassment. All right, you know what he got? 15 years in jail. 15 years in jail. This is a man that took a gay pride flag down from a church, ripped down the flag, and burnt it. What did he get? 15 years in jail as a hate crime. Now, okay, he did destroy property. He did destroy private property. But does that deserve a 15-year prison sentence?
Well, if they were using the desecration of the flag law, trying to make that a part of the desecration of the flag law, it would have only been a year in prison and a fine. That's what the American flag penalty is. Because they put it over into the hate crime area, they were able to get it a stronger penalty.
Well, how about making a hate crime to burn the American flag?
I was going to say the exact same thing. Isn't that a hate crime?
What else is on your radar screen, kid?
Well, there's a group called change.org. They have a petition that's got 2.8 million signatures urging Florida Governor Ron DeSantis and the Florida Board of Executive Clemency to reconsider a fellow Harjinder Singh, a 28-year-old illegal alien truck driver accused of vehicular homicide, is what he was accused of. And he attempted an illegal U-turn in a semi-truck using a trailer to jackknife and strike a minivan, resulting in the death of all three occupants. Okay.
So this is a guy who came to this country illegally, who couldn't speak or read English, who got a driver's license in California, got a commercial driver's license, was hired by a company, from what I understand, hires illegals, obviously did not train this guy, all right? But what really upset me, when this guy was making this illegal U-turn in the middle of the road, and in the video you can see the SUV plowing under the trailer part of it. You actually see it plowing. The man was emotionless. I mean, if I was in a truck and something like that, I would be horrified. This guy, no emotion at all, Sharon. That this car just ran in, and he's just, all right, so another day. So this guy in this country illegally made an illegal turn. Should not have had a driver's license, should not have had a commercial driver's license to boot, all right? And his expression to me was absolutely amazing. Like, man, no big deal. That's what really upset me. Now, what I think is if another driver, a licensed American driver, if they did the same thing, would they be charged with vehicular homicide? All right. But 3.5 million people to sign this petition for the governor to go easy on this guy. This guy should, in my opinion, spend the rest of his life in jail. And by the way, not in this country. Let's send him to Costa Rica, a Costa Rican jail, or a Ugandan jail. I don't like the idea of these criminals who are in this country illegally serving, getting 3 hots and a cot in an American jail. It really angered me when these terrorists were down in Gitmo and they were given prayer rugs and meals fitting of their culture and cable TV and free cell phones and soccer fields that looks like a professional team played on. I think jail should be punishment. They're probably living in better conditions than they ever lived in the tent back home. All right. So this guy, in my opinion, should be treated like any other person who's charged with vehicular homicide. He committed a crime. He committed a crime by entering this country illegally. I think there were crimes committed when he got a license, when he got a commercial driver's license from a company who I think should be investigated, forever hiring this guy, forever helping this guy get a license. He killed three people, Sharon. He killed three people because of his negligence.
Well, not only that, but how does an illegal get a driver's license in California, get a commercial driver's license in California, get a job with a company to drive truck? Those things right there are, it's illegal. All of that. If you're illegal, you should be deported. You should be arrested and deported. But no, instead of an arrest for being here illegally, they give him not only a driver's license, but they give it to him when he can't even read English. They give it to him when he can't obey the road signs on the test. So all of this just smacks of this liberalism gone mad. They say it wasn't a deliberate act. That's the reason that there should be leniency and he shouldn't get this horrible 45 years in prison. That's what he's been sentenced to, 15 years for killing a person 3 times, 3 deaths, 45 years. They say it's just too much because it wasn't intentional. The man grabbed up a person, I believe, a lady, and they flee the day after the crash. I believe if he didn't think he'd done something wrong, why does he run away? Guess
Why
where
is
he
he
ran
fleeing?
to? Where guess where he ran to? Commits this crime in Florida. He runs to California. They have to extradite him
Wow.
back to Florida to face trial because a judge did deny him bond finally because they cited him as a significant flight risk. Guess what? He already ran. That's a kind of a no-brainer, right? Of course, he is a flight risk. He's from India. I think he should go home to India and that India should take care of this fellow in their prison. That's where he belongs. He is illegal from India. Go back to Punjab, India. And why don't they want him to do that? That should have been their their appeal, right? Send him back to India where his family is. That's what they're crying about here, is that he's only 28 years old. Imagine what this is going to do to his family. They're not thinking of his family's condition in terms of missing their son or their grandson or their nephew. They're thinking of the money that he was going to send home.
Oh, wonderful.
Right?
Wonderful.
Isn't that
wonderful?
What they're
thinking let's reward them. Oh,
well,
wonderful.
Think of what it's going to do to his family. Well, what is it? If his family wants to see him, they should send him home to India to complete his sentence. But we don't do that, do we? At least he's in jail. At least he's serving his time.
Well, you should not reward him or his family. You know what, Sharon? Anyone who commits a crime, I don't care if it's robbery or whatever, they have to pay the penalty, irregardless of how it's going to affect their families. He should have thought about that. He should have thought about that way ahead of time, Sharon.
Well, and here's what they want. Not the 45 years the vehicular homicide brings as a punishment. They want him to be sentenced to counseling and community service.
Oh, wonderful.
And community service.
Oh, wonderful.
So we're talking about a fellow who's a criminal. And they want him to get counseling and community
Incredible.
Service for killing
Absolutely.
Three people in this country. We need justice. Now, Secretary of State Marco Rubio, he says that endangering lives and undercutting the livelihoods of American truck drivers is one of the things that they should have taken into account when they issue illegal foreign commercial truck drivers these licenses and work visas. So he didn't even have a work visa, but they issued him a commercial driver's license. And they shouldn't have done that, just on the pure moral statement of endangering American lives and the livelihoods of American truck drivers. How many truck drivers do we have in this country? They should be filing a counter petition saying how wrong this was to give an illegal alien a commercial driver's license in the first place, not to mention that he's deadly. He didn't know how to drive that truck and he killed three people. That's the definition of vehicular homicide, is when something happens due to your own negligence. It's the same thing if you were driving drunk. It's the same thing if you were driving under the influence of any kind of narcotics or drugs. You know, it's that. That's what it is. This is negligence on the part of the driver. He didn't know how to drive that vehicle, and he didn't know the traffic laws, and that's what caused this accident. And that is a matter of fact that came up in court. So to say he should get leniency, and they're saying community service in this country and counseling in this country, he's an illegal alien. He should be deported.
Incredible. Sharon, let's get a break in. And you are listening to and watching the Conservative Commandos with Sharon Engel. I'm Rick Trader. Go nowhere. We'll be right back right after this break.
Yeah. Now you can leave home and leave the tanks behind with Inogen, the portable oxygen concentrator that moves with you.
This little box changed my life. I can now do all those things that I want to do. You just press the button here, and there's my oxygen.
Inogen portable oxygen systems are small and light and deliver up to 12 hours of medical-grade oxygen on a single charge.
Now that I've got my Inogen, I've got my freedom back. I'm back to living again.
Call us right now. Try an Inogen system for 30 days risk-free.
To order, call now. 800-604-3966. To order, call now. 800-604-3966. To order, call now. 800-604-3966.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm excited to announce my new product, My Coffee. I get products all the time from entrepreneurs for my new platform, MyStore.com. And when I tried My Coffee for the first time, I was blown away. It is the best coffee I've ever had in my life. I spent the last 4 months doing my due diligence, and this family-owned business micromanages every step from the fields to the cup to ensure the best quality coffee you're ever going to have. It starts with the beans that are grown in Honduras. Honduras's volcanic soil and humid climate make the perfect growing conditions for coffee plants, which produce the best beans ever. Then each batch is tested for its aroma, taste, and other aspects to meet the highest standards in the coffee industry. And after that, it goes into production, which is all done right here in the USA. It's like you're getting that small batch specialty coffee, but delivered right to your front door. So go to MyStore.com or call the number on your screen. Use the promo code and you'll get your very own My Coffee for 25% off. You guys all know that I've traveled the country for the past year and a half. I've stayed in hundreds of hotels. I've tried every coffee out there. Well, some of the coffees have that terrible aftertaste, some that leave me jittery, or I get an upset stomach. Well, My Coffee is different. It's the richest, smoothest, best coffee I've ever had. My Coffee comes in a variety of flavors. You get them ground or whole bean, plus it's certified organic and non-GMO. I guarantee it'll be the best coffee you've ever had. So go to MyStore.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code and you'll get My Coffee for 25% off. And I'm going to give you deep discounts on all My Store products. That's MyStore.com. It's my new platform for USA entrepreneurs. Please order now.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos with Sharon Engel. I'm Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow Studios and MyStore Studios of the AUNTV Network. And Sharon, I want to give a program note here. And after this segment, we're going to be playing some of the best of interviews here on Conservative Commandos. And so don't go away after this segment. We'll play those interviews for you. Back to you, Sharon.
Well, you know, we've wondered who's going to get prosecuted and who's going to be held accountable for their actions in the Biden regime during that time. And a representative from Texas, Brandon Gill, is calling for Vice President Kamala Harris to be subpoenaed as part of the House Oversight Committee's investigation into President Joe Biden's cognitive decline. I think what he wants to do is expose how the cover-up that was happening during the Biden administration, and he says he doesn't think Kamala Harris is innocent in this, that he's saying that her testimony would be incredibly helpful to unravel the auto pen portion of the investigation. So he's starting to drag, he's starting to say, let's bring the rest of this bunch in, because everybody was covering for this president. They knew what the problem was, and yet they were covering it over, and that Harris is as guilty as the rest of cover-up of this, what they're calling the cognitive decline, what we know to be a fact. I mean, we all saw it on television. There's no doubt that the president was having difficulty, and now they found out that somebody else was signing the documents using this auto pen. The whole scandal is starting to unravel. So that's one. I wanted to just say, you know, finally, we're getting some light on this, and I hope that there'll be some charges made.
And by the way, Sharon, if I could just add.
Sure.
Just about every time you saw Biden do anything, Kamala Harris was by his side.
Right.
She's now, there's some people, his counsel, okay, was saying the other day he only met him twice, all right? But Kamala Harris was there all the time. There all the time. I'm sure she saw it.
I'm sure she did too. And that's what this Representative Gill is saying.
By the way, Brandon Gill.
Know what she knows.
By the way, Brandon Gill, son-in-law of Dinesh D'Souza.
Ah, no wonder he's into revealing the truth, right?
I love when they have congressional hearings, and Brandon Gill is one of the questioners. He's doing a great job. Freshman congressman, just elected, you know, last November. Just installed into the office January 3rd. He's doing a great job. Doing a great job.
Well, I hope that they allow the subpoena. You know, we think subpoenas, you get subpoenaed, you have to go to court. That's what a subpoena does for you. But there are ways to wiggle out of it. And by that, I mean a judge can decide not to honor the subpoena. And say, oh, well, that's a good excuse for them not showing up in court, and they don't have
Steve to. Steve Bannon ended up in jail because he wouldn't show up for a congressional hearing when he was subpoenaed. I think General Flynn, I know there's someone else, Peter Navarro, also refused to show up when subpoenaed by Congress, and they ended up in jail.
Yep. So that's the power of a subpoena. However, I know that a judge can just say, well, the subpoena doesn't matter. They don't need to show up in court. That's a good excuse. So we'll see how the judge handles this subpoena. But I think Brandon Gill is right. She needs to be subpoenaed. She needs to be asked, because she was there, as you say. We saw her. And they could just go from film clip to film clip to film clip showing her presence every time he spoke, every time he had an appearance. She's there. She knew. And yet she kept that to herself. The other thing that is interesting is these loopholes in the law. And Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, AOC, has to declare her income, right? She has to file a list of her assets and liabilities to be a congresswoman. That's what she has to do. Well, she has this loophole. She has, and her loophole is a guy named Riley Roberts. She calls him her spouse when it's in her best interest to get him perks or to such as travel.
He's the boyfriend.
He's the boyfriend. Okay, so he's her spouse when she wants him to get travel perks and access to different places.
That's illegal.
But when it's for her financial disclosure, she transfers everything over to him so that her finances look squeaky clean. And so Congress is now looking into this. They're saying, wait a minute. He's either your spouse or he's not your spouse. If he's your spouse, he gets these perks, but you also have to claim his income. So anything that you guys have together needs to be claimed on this
Absolutely.
Report. If he's not your spouse, then he can't have these, but you can't have it both ways, which is what she's trying to do, is have it both ways. And she also, you can tell she just doesn't want to disclose what her income is, because she keeps filing for deadline extensions, and then she missed those disclosure deadlines. So she is deliberately trying not to disclose what her spouse is making, because he's
except for one little thing. He's not her spouse.
So there you have it. It's how do you get things, how do you get to have your cake and eat it too? AOC is practicing that right now.
This is how you do it. This is how you, like I say, I think everybody in Congress should be investigated. Well, Sharon, let's get a break in. As I teased at the start of this segment, after this break, we're going to be playing some of the best of interviews that we've done here on the Conservative Commanders. My co-host today is Sharon Engel. I'm Rick Trader. Go nowhere. We'll be back with those interviews right after this break.
Are you tired of making trip after trip on doctor visits only to get wrong medications that waste time, money, and cause you side effects? If you're on Medicare, call for a free medical assessment and determine which medications are right for you based on your genetic makeup. With our convenient swab test performed in your home and mailed to our laboratory, no more trial and error. The results will tell you and your doctor which medications work for you. It's that easy. If you're on Medicare and take multiple medications, call now and see if you qualify for our genetic testing service covered by Medicare or your insurance. Improve your health, avoid adverse side effects, and save money. Don't wait. Call right now and find out if the medications you're taking are helping or hurting you. Make this free call right now.
Call 855-820-3291. That's 855-820-3291. Call 855-820-3291. That's 855-820-3291. Call 855-820-3291. That's 855-820-3291.
I hear every day about the products you all wish MyPillow carried. Well, guess what? We probably do. Slippers, bathrobes, pet beds, blankets, mattresses, sleepwear, loungewear, duvets, comforters, pot holders, aprons, oven mitts, and so much more. And they're all on sale. For example, get our best-selling standard MyPillows for only $14.98. Body pillows, $29.98. Six-piece bath towels or kitchen towel sets, just $29.98. Multi-use MyPillow 2.0s with pillowcase, $9.98. Save $40 on our Spring Percale and Giza Dream bed sheet sets. Any size, any color, and so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to save up to 80% on all MyPillow products. And I've never done this before. When you spend $100 or more, you're going to get two standard MyPillows absolutely free.
To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893. 7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV. To order, please call 800-797-7893 and please use the promotion code AUNTV.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show with Sharon Engel and yours truly, Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow Studios, the MyStore Studios of our very own AUNTV network. And Sharon, we talk about it all the time, how you were in Israel on October 7th and your experiences there and your experiences getting home. And, you know, Sharon, Israel has always been, talking about Israel has always been one of our passions. And while we've got a great new guest to pick up that conversation, and Sharon, please make the introduction.
Well, it's my pleasure to introduce Rizzi Blum, who is a former advisor at the Office of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. She is also an award-winning columnist and a senior contributing editor at JNS. She co-hosted with Ambassador Mark Regev of the JNS TV podcast, Israel Undiplomatic, and she's in Tel Aviv. Ruth, welcome to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
Well, it's our honor to have you, Ruthie. And I guess I want to go a little bit off script right from the beginning and talk about something that you mentioned off air, and that is that you heard about the attack on Iran from the U.S. because it was going on at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so I kind of want to go to that Iran attack, that Israel, it was a kind of a preemptive attack. But it seems like they've been able to blow up some things that they weren't supposed to blow up, or that were so secret that Iran was afraid to say, yeah, they blew it up because we're not supposed to have it. And that is a nuclear weapons facility. So can you give us a little insight, because that's kind of something that's now just now coming out, that we did, that I say we because I so pro Israel, but that Israel did more damage in Iran than it was first supposed.
Right. So first of all, let me just say, you certainly may say we, and the reason I say that is that Israel is on the front lines of a war against the West. And anybody who supports Israel in that war is part of that alliance, that Western alliance. The fact that many Western allies of Israel, and I say, maybe I should say allies in quotes, but never mind, have sort of been sleeping on the job, let's put it delicately, okay? That I just want to clarify that you may say we if you're talking about Israel. Secondly, the Israel's attack on Iran, I think it was October 26th, and it was the middle of the night in the Middle East, but it was a normal hour in the evening in the United States. So reports of it that came out, many, many Israelis were already sound asleep. I didn't happen to be, but I had turned off the news because I was overloaded, and actually heard about it first from my brother in New York, who phoned me, and I said, oh, and I turned on the TV and I went on social media, etc. But it wasn't really a preemptive strike in the following sense. Iran had attacked Israel twice directly. It's been attacking Israel since October 7th, of course, last year, because Iran is the head of the octopus guiding Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis in Yemen, the militias in Iraq. So yes, they're all Iranian attacks, but Iran directly attacked Israel twice, once in April and again on October 1st. And so this, you could say, was Israel's retaliatory strike. Not that the language matters that much in this case, because, you know, all of this, this business of they do this and we retaliate makes it sound as though we are on equal moral footing, which we're not. They are immoral, and Israel is moral. I wanted to get that straight, first of all. But the reason Iran didn't want to acknowledge this strike, or how much damage was done in the strike, was not just because they didn't want us to know they have nukes. So, you know, because they lie about that. They say their nuclear program is peaceful and everything. But mainly, two reasons. There's a lot of unrest in Iran, in the streets of Iran, against the regime. And the last thing they want to do is to add to that, but encourage those protesters and the unrest in their own streets by showing that maybe they're losing ground. That's one thing. Another reason that they didn't want to acknowledge exactly what we hit is because it makes them look weak, and they wanted, because their first reports were, yeah, Israel fired some, you know, it went with its air force, but it hardly did anything to make Israel look, inconsequential. And so I would say that was the main reason they said, no. And it turns out that the Israeli Air Force did something incredible, because it managed to, first of all, take out or disable Iran's air defenses. And what does that mean? Aside from also hitting something that's connected to its nuclear program and set it back, but by taking out their air defenses, that means that they're vulnerable to attack on their nuclear facilities because they can't down attack planes now. And so that's extremely significant. And it would be even more so if the administration in Washington hadn't been tying Israel's hands so severely for the whole past year, really.
Well, I'm glad that we started there, because I think everybody should be aware that Hezbollah is just a puppet for Iran. So why are we even thinking of sending our special envoys to Beirut? Because Lebanon has been controlled by Syria and Iran. Why aren't we sending them direct to Tehran and saying, call off your little dogs? Why are we going this direction?
Well, you know, as I like to think of myself as a conservative commando.
Yes. Please.
Okay. Well, you know, I have to say that the answer I'm about to give you is mine alone, all right? It's not coming from the Israeli government or JNS. This is my personal opinion. When you ask that question, my answer is, why are we sending negotiators at all? First of all, you don't negotiate with terrorists. Second of all, by doing that, what you're saying is there's something to negotiate, rather than saying, we are defeating you. You are going to beg us. You are going to beg us for a deal, not the other way around. Right. And by mediating, I hate that word even, because, basically what a mediator, in the democratic administrations especially, what these mediators do is amass a lot of frequent flyer miles.
Yeah.
You know, and really for what? Rather than laying down the law, okay? America is the world's greatest superpower, or should be, when it's not leading from behind. And it should be laying down the law, and should be saying, and should certainly not be tying Israel's hands. And Israel, by the way, should also be laying down the law. We are pulverizing you until you surrender.
Right.
I understand, I have sympathy for the Israeli government right now trying to navigate its most important ally, navigate the relations, because, you know, Israel can't afford, Israel is a tiny, tiny country. As strong as we are in many, many ways, we are extremely dependent on the United States. which, you know, normally wouldn't be a bad thing, because I think the United States is also dependent on Israel. You know, the whole West is, without realizing how much so. And you were here, Sharon, you were here on October 7th when the massacre occurred, and, you know, thousands of Hamas terrorists invaded and rockets were flying all over the place. Then on October 8th, Hezbollah joined in from Lebanon with rocket attacks. You were here, so you can grasp how from one day to the next, everyone was celebrating a holiday. It was just a peaceful weekend, you know, and boom, there was an assault, the likes of which, as we say, the assault on the Jewish people in a single day, the likes of which haven't been seen since the Holocaust. And I don't say that like, I'm not somebody who compares things to the Holocaust all the time, no. And in a situation like that, the only response is to say, okay, the world has gone haywire with this radical Islam run by Iran, enough already. And that's what Israel said. But then the Biden administration said, we have your back, but proceeded basically to stab us in it by saying, okay, you have the right to defend yourself, but don't kill anybody. And don't have a ground invasion, or don't, and from the beginning, okay, ceasefire, that's the message you give to the greatest enemies of the West. It not only makes no sense, it's very, very dangerous, and it encourages, it bolsters those enemies. And I'm telling you, we would have won this war months ago. We would have probably gotten all the hostages back if the policies had been different.
Okay, let's talk about that. We have a new president. He's coming in about 60 days, but that leaves Israel pretty vulnerable for the next 60 days. How do you feel about that vulnerability? Do you feel like Biden's going to make some last minute decisions that are going to actually weaken you? What, you know, to me, everybody was saying, oh yeah, we're so glad Trump is in, and we are, but for 60 days, it was 70, for 60 days now, the vulnerabilities there are just, I just feel like you're more vulnerable than ever. Maybe I'm being crazy saying that, but you tell me.
Well, I wouldn't say more vulnerable than ever, because I see what you mean. This is a lame duck administration, right? And we saw what President Obama did during his lame duck period by not vetoing a terribly anti-Israel resolution at the United Nations Security Council. And I have to say, I was quite pleasantly surprised that today, the Biden administration did veto the latest resolution demanding a ceasefire, you know, unilateral ceasefire in Gaza, Lebanon, whatever, a terrible resolution, and the U.S. did veto it. So that's one thing. So we're not as vulnerable as we've been at certain points. Also, the very fact that Trump was elected, but not only elected, this was a landslide and a clean sweep. That's not just being elected. And keeping in mind that Israel's not the only player here, the Iran and the other players are afraid. They thought they had it in the bag with Washington in their pocket. And so at the moment, the reason I say Israel is less vulnerable than before is because just the very fact of a new administration, and this one, you know, let's face it, a MAGA administration, some of the appointees, well, we'll see if they get confirmed and all that, right? Mm-hmm. But some of them are extremely, what you call extremely right wing, not, and unabashedly so. Yeah. And so, you know, Iran says, this is the guy who ripped up the deal with us. This is the guy who said no more money. Okay, this is the guy who brokered the Abraham Accords with countries that are anti-Iran. And the terrorists are taking their cue from Iran. So in some ways, just that very fact makes these 60 days a little bit easier to maneuver, I hope, I think. That's one thing. But also, I believe, and again, this is just my opinion, and it's important that I say that because of my previous job and everything. I believe that there's an element here of letting the clock run out, right? Like in sports, right? Those 60 days, and in the, so let Amos Hochstein have his frequent flyer miles and say, an agreement is within reach. It's in our clutches, you know? And play along with it, or whatever else we're doing. You know, again, we don't know exactly all the details. What we do know is that Hezbollah said nothing doing about Israel having the right afterwards to make sure it doesn't rearm and, you know, and has the right to go into Lebanon. At the second that we see movements of terrorists or arms being moved in from Syria, they said no to that. So, you know, my feeling is that it's really a bogus negotiation in the first place. So, and I also know that there are things going on behind the scenes, including about Gaza and the hostages, that we don't know. We have hints of it. We don't know. So what I'm saying is it's true, it's a tricky time, these 60 days. And on the other hand, it's giving us maybe a little bit of wiggle room.
I want to thank our guest for sticking with us, and that's Ruthie Bloom. She's a former advisor at the office of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. She's an award-winning columnist and a senior contributor at JNS. She's a co-host to a program called Israel Undiplomatic. Hey, Ruthie, thank you for holding through the break. We appreciate your time and being with us. Ruthie, before we get started, just tell our audience what JNS is.
It's the Jewish News Syndicate. It's a news site that has also many, not only news stories, but opinion articles, features, many podcasts. It's got a lot of great content. The website is jns.org. You can also look up JNS TV on YouTube. We like to keep up to date on everything that's going on in Israel and the Jewish world.
And again, how can people find out more?
JNS.org.
JNS.org. Yep. Ruth, this special envoy to me, it's kind of puzzling. O'Biden, as I call him O'Biden because he's been Obama's puppet. O'Biden, this special envoy. O'Biden is only there for another 2 months. What is he trying to pull out? Some kind of a legacy move, do you think? I mean, why doesn't this old man just get out of the way? Just get out of the way. And the way I look at it, get out of the way, let Israel do what it needs to do. In 2 months, we're going to have a new president, hopefully a new course of direction, especially in the relations between Israel and the United States. And I just, in my way of thinking, it's one of Joe Biden's ploys to build some sort of legacy for himself on the way out the door. And Ruthie, you tell me what you think. Walk me back from this ledge or push me over.
Well, you say, why doesn't he just get out of the way? Do not forget, please, that he was gotten out of the way by his own party. He was shoved out. Now, in fairness, he still is the president of the United States. Just because Kamala Harris became the candidate, well, she lost, and he is the sitting president of the United States. That's number one. Number two, I think he was so happy that she lost. I think it's unmistakable. The smile from ear to ear on that man's face after the election was unmistakable. I don't think I've seen him that happy since he won the election the first time. So that's the good news in a way, I mean, for what we're talking about here. Because I'm not so sure that he has any interest in helping the people who shoved him out so brutally. And why do I say brutally? Look, it was clear, it was painful for me to watch. It was clear I was very angry at Dr. Jill Biden, his wife, because, you know, I don't know if you know anybody who has suffered from cognitive impairment at a certain age, that it sort of gradually goes, and everybody was witnessing it, and I felt that it was the duty of his wife above everybody else. I mean, his children too, but you know, his wife to say, this, I can't let my husband be humiliated like this repeatedly on camera. It's too cruel. And I have to say, even though I have been an opponent of his politically, I thought it was cruel. I'm not a cruel person and I couldn't stand to watch that. Right. And his party knew it. And they all, you know, just pretended not to. And then when he had the disastrous debate with President Trump, with now President-elect Trump, and the whole world saw it in such a blatant way, all of a sudden, all the people who had been pretending, you know, had been propping him up and pretending everything was fine. And as you said, Obama anyway was running the show or pulling the strings. And anyway, the administration is a clone of the Obama administration. So we know that. But then why I say it was so cruel the way they, what they did to him, because they first pretended that everything was fine. And as soon as they said, uh-oh, we're gonna lose the election, then they basically said, you gotta get out of there. And he did not want to. And, but you know, I don't know what they threatened him with, or they just, they bullied him into it. So, you know, when you say that, why doesn't he get out of the way? If anything, I gotta say, if I were in his shoes, I'd say, get out of the way. I'll show you people. I'm not getting out of the way. I'm still the president. You're not, yeah. I am. So whether he wants a legacy now, here is where I'm not sure how.
What do you think that this special envoy, does it have a snowball's chance, and you know where, of doing anything? And the other thing I wanted to ask you, who should be negotiating with Hamas? Who should be negotiating with Hezbollah? Who should be negotiating with Iran? Should it be the United States, or should it be Israel itself?
Well, first of all, I've been against most of the negotiations that Israel has held over the decades. You know, I think that the only way, I don't really believe in negotiations. Usually the negotiations we've had have led to no good. And they led to deals that are no good, because you're not, you're negotiating with malign actors. It's not like negotiating with partners. And how do we see this? When any Arab state or any leader of any kind, comes to terms with Israel's existence, it takes 2 minutes. We saw that with the Abraham Accords. How long did that need a lot of negotiating? No, it really didn't. Okay. The reason negotiations go on is that you have an enemy bent on your destruction, making conditions, and then you say, okay, well, so we'll give in to this and not to that. It's not a good move. Right. As you wouldn't do, you don't have, you know, when there's a hostage situation in a bank, let's say, you know, a crazy person or whatever, takes hostages or does something at a campus, and you have the FBI, you have negotiators go in, but they're not really negotiating. They're trying to figure out the best way to tackle or kill the perpetrator. And they do that by saying, okay, we have to calm things down, right? We've got to do something, because otherwise a lot of people will be killed. But they're not actually negotiating with the criminal. No, it's a phony negotiate. They're talking to him. They're talking him off a ledge maybe, but they're not negotiating. And right. And here, that's what I would say. I would say, first of all, yes, you know, in an administration that doesn't believe in victory, It believes that America is not better than any other country. It believes in, you know, listen, it's doing that inside America as well. There's no such thing as excellence. There's no such thing as merit. There's no such thing as earning, or nobody's better than anyone else. And you see what a disaster that has been for the United States itself.
Right. And hey, Ruthie, we're coming up on a hard break, and there are a couple of real quick questions I want to ask you. And I also want to give you time to tell our viewers and listeners how they could keep up with you, read the things you write and things like that. But a couple of things. Number one, Israel's plan to attack Iran was leaked by somebody in Washington. That's number one. Number two, just the other day, Elon Musk, of all people, met with the Iranian UN ambassador. So I wanted to get your reaction to both those things.
All right, well, about the latter, I mean, Elon Musk denies it and the Iranian ambassador denies it. So I don't know what to say about it.
Okay, I didn't know about the denials.
Yeah. If it's true, it would make me very nervous to think that it's true, except that I hope that Elon Musk, if he did this, didn't do something harmful to the West inadvertently. I know he wouldn't have done that.
I would look at it more as a back channel from Donald Trump to Iran.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah. And that's all well and good if the back channel is accomplishing what you want it to accomplish.
Right.
It's not good if the back channel is saying, you know, it'll be fine, or we'll give you money. It depends what is said in the back channel meetings, right?
Right.
So I know that Musk wouldn't do anything to damage, you know, U.S. security or world
security. And again, the idea that Israel's plan to attack Iran was leaked. Your reaction to that?
Well, I got to tell you, there are Israelis who fear that leak came, first of all, from Israel to Washington, not just from Washington, because, you know, we have our own members of the left that really sided with the Biden administration over the Netanyahu government. All right. And so there, what I would say, that it's a travesty. And one thing that it proves is that if the United States actually did inform Iran, and there I do believe it, okay, if that's true, then it just shows you what a hostile administration it's been to Israel. That's proof, because that's what you do, is you convey to the world's worst enemy. I mean, not the worst, because China is also an enemy. We've got a lot of enemies. But, you know, at the moment, with Iran, to leak what Israel's going to do to Iran, that's outrageous, and it shouldn't have been tolerated. And all it does is say, okay, well, we can't trust, we can't fill Washington in on any moves we're going to make.
Right. Ruthie Bloom, we're coming up on a hard break, but I want you to leave us with this, how our viewers and listeners could follow you, read the things you write, and also find out and possibly watch JNS.
Okay, well, my name is Ruthie Bloom, and I write for JNS.org, and I write columns regularly. I also post them on social media. It's Ruthie Bloom on Twitter, on X, excuse me, on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and JNS.org has all the content, all the writers and the podcast, but you can also look up JNS TV on YouTube, but you can also see it on the website.
All right. Ruthie Bloom, we want to thank you so much for joining us. It was great to meet you, and God bless you, and take care.
God bless you, too.
And you are listening to and watching The Conservative Commandos with Sharon Angle and yours truly, Rick Trader. Our friend Jim Paff is going to join us after the break, and we're going to discuss Donald Trump's picks for his cabinets. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Because of your overwhelming support, our 1488 MyPillow has been one of the biggest sales in MyPillow history. I couldn't think of a better way to say thank you than to extend our wholesale pricing through Christmas. Get a classic standard MyPillow for only $14.88. Upgrade to a queen size, just $18.88. King size, only a dollar more. Get my body pillows for only $29.88. And ready? Multi-use my pillows, only $9.88. It's perfect time to stock up for Christmas gifts for everyone on your list. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our wholesale pricing, including my classic standard My Pillows, only $14.88. But that's not all. I'm so confident you're going to love our classic My Pillows that I'm going to extend my 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2025. Plus, orders over $75 ship absolutely free.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show with Sharon Angle. I'm Rick Trader, coming to you from the MyPillow Studios, the MyStore Studios of the AUN TV network. Hey, Sharon, a gentleman that's getting to be a real familiar face here at Conservative Commandos is joining us. We're so glad to have him with us. And Sharon, please make that introduction.
It's always my pleasure to introduce Jim Paff, who is the president of the Conservative Caucus. Jim's political career stretches over three decades. He's also served as the chief of staff for Colorado House Republican Caucus. He served as founder and executive director of Americans for Prosperity of Colorado and president of Colorado Family Institute and the national representative for family policy councils at Focus on the Family. Jim served as chief of staff for two different congressmen, Congressman Thomas Massey and Congressman Tim Huelskamp. Jim, welcome back to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show.
Glad to be with you all. Thanks for having me again.
Well, it's great to have you, and it's great to have you on this side of the election. it was kind of touch and go, especially for us here in Nevada. We felt like we might get the same old thing again. And also, as we covered it that night, you knew that we were thinking could be the same as 2020, but it's not, and we're so glad. I want to talk about some of the picks that President Trump has just hit the ground running. He isn't wasting any time with these picks. In fact, he's got some more as we speak, it seems like. He's got a new one in Dr. Oz and also Linda McMahon. And so let's talk to me about him going so quickly and about the quality of the picks.
Well, I'll talk about the quality first and then I'll get to the quickly. You know, the quality is actually, in my mind, very good. Now, formal Washington doesn't like any of them, to be candid. Sort of like Mike Waltz. And they're really hoping that Donald Trump picks Mike Rogers over Kash Patel for FBI, because Mike Rogers is a total deep stater. But he is, as a Republican. I mean, we got to remember, Donald Trump needs his team. He needs the people, not only that are going to be loyal, but that are going to shake up things in the agencies that they're at. By the way, another announcement today, which I'm really excited about, and he's a good friend of mine, and he was very effective in the previous Trump administration, is Russ Vogt for Office of Management and Budget. And this is a key one, because all these people that he's going to appoint to these various agencies, you need someone strong in Office of Management and Budget to back them up to make the changes necessary that really would reform all of these agencies. It's Office of Management and Budget that can eliminate employee positions under certain auspices that go beyond the problems with the law that make it hard to fire employees. Office of Management and Budget has a lot more flexibility. That'll help support Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy's efforts with the Department of Government Efficiency. But these are really good picks, and the one I'm most excited about, and that everyone is screaming about, is Matt Gaetz at Department of Justice, the Attorney General. Listen, Matt Gaetz is incredibly smart. He's very capable. When you, everyone who has any doubt or question about him needs to go and look for videos of him questioning people out of the Judiciary Commission committee, particularly Merrick Garland. He totally exposed Merrick Garland's efforts to weaponize the Justice Department against Donald Trump, particularly in the Alvin Bragg case. So, and I could keep going on, and I'm sure willing to answer questions, but the team is fantastic. But here's the point about the quickness of it. He needs to get them all named right now, because every one of them that he can get through a recess appointment, it needs to happen. So, for example, Matt Gaetz is going to be a tough confirmation fight. It is, because these wimpy idiot Republicans in the Senate that are screaming and crying about it, that might make that difficult. But if Matt, and I think Matt Gaetz could ultimately go through the nomination process, but if he gets into a recess appointment, we've got him for almost 2 years. Like, it would be fabulous. So if he doesn't get confirmed, just to have Matt Gaetz for 2 years go after this corrupt organization that has gone way out of hand, totally worth it to me, and I think he deserves it. They went after him, by the way. So I'm very pleased, very excited. Donald Trump's doing – he's almost knocked – batted 1,000 on these picks. I'm very pleased with it.
Okay, so let's drill down a little bit. I have never heard of Linda McMahon. Many people haven't, and turns out she's with World Wide Wrestling. So what's she got to do with education? Talk to me a little bit about that. Is this just a political payback? I guess that's what everybody's asking. How much of this is real experience, and how much of it is I owe you?
So Linda McMahon is not my favorite pick, but she's a very good one in ways that a lot of people may not understand. First of all, she was running the Small Business Administration in the first Trump administration. She is a Trump loyalist. A World Wrestling Federation that she founded with her ex-husband, Vince McMahon. That's a major worldwide operation. It takes a lot of skill to run a company that large. She is a billionaire in her own right. And that brings up another point, which if she's going to be running the Department of Education that Donald Trump has already said he wants to close, she doesn't need a job, okay? She's independently wealthy, and that's perfect for someone, because one of the problems with shutting down agencies is that most people who get appointed to these positions do need a job. They need that $170,000 or $200,000 a year paycheck that or else they're totally out on the street again and have to figure things out. This is one of the bad things about some of the salaries and things we do in Washington, D.C., including for congressmen, but that's another discussion. The other thing about Linda McMahon is she's been running America First Policy Institute, which has been doing very pro-Trump policy. So it's not like she's unfamiliar with the policy process and how to implement things. She's in an agency that studies that with a lot of very talented pro-Trump key people on board there. So, the America First Policy Institute, by the way, is not the most Trumpian of all of those, but it's also pretty good. Net, we need to get rid of the Department of Education. I think she's competent of doing that. It's going to take some legislation, but also working with Russ Vogt to get rid of people. That's an agency that's got to go for decades, and we shouldn't have ever started it.
Absolutely correct. I know I was starting to sing that song in 2010 and got a lot of pushback, but it's time has passed. So there are others that I'm thinking, how will the Congress do or the Senate do with these confirmations? Tulsi Gabbard and Robert Kennedy Jr., Democrats until just recently. How does that feel to you being GOP?
Well, particularly Tulsi Gabbard, actually, I am very excited about that pick. They threw her, the intelligence community threw her on the terrorist watch list. Like, it's amazing. I have a very good friend of mine who is close to Tulsi. I don't know Tulsi well myself, but he's close to her. And her character is flawless as a person, right? Whatever, wherever she is on policy. But she understands why we need to stop doing forever wars. And she understands very well why it is dangerous what these what the intelligence community is doing. She's an incredibly intelligent person, very capable. And the whatever Democrat policy leaning she's had is it almost has no effect when it comes to the intelligence community. In fact, our friend and great patriot, Michael Flynn, General Michael Flynn, he was a Democrat for most for almost all of his life. And he's one of the most effective intelligence people. You know, he ran the Defense Intelligence Agency, and then he was the DNI, the very position Tulsi's in. He was the DNI for Barack Obama and called it out. So Michael Flynn is probably a good example related to Tulsi Gabbard, although I think she had a little more left economic policy in the past. But I'm confident about that one, and we need her there. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. brings up some very interesting potential problems for conservatives in the sense that Health and Human Services has a lot of connection to federal funding to abortion. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has never been a pro-lifer anywhere near it, even though his dad was a solid pro-lifer. If you go look back at Robert F. Kennedy Sr., he was a solid pro-life person as from a Catholic perspective. But RFK Jr., that would be a concern. And I've had discussions with people who offer that complaint. Let me tell you why it doesn't entirely torque me to see this, because if George W. Bush had appointed Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to HHS, I'd be screaming. But the one thing that may be positive is the fact that some of the reforms that need to happen in the health community, in the science end of things, he's absolutely right about. So the National Institutes of Health that totally lied to everyone about the COVID vaccine, about the effects of COVID, and of course, Dr. Fauci and the NIAID, he was heading that up. That's under NIH. The science problem in NIH is absurd right now. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. has been absolutely right about these problems. He has studied the science of it and written books about it. You know, he's not a scientist, but he brings a wealth of knowledge to the table for that. And so I think, and then some of the broader issues related to health services, I think he's going to bring a good perspective on. So even though on the life issue, it poses some very real problems. I mean, I don't want to, you know, sugarcoat that in any way. Some of the other things he could bring to the table, and frankly, I don't think it, from what I can tell, the abortion issue to him is not like it is for AOC, you know, and most people in the Democrat Party. So if he's willing to not make that his thing, then I think we can get a net positive. But we got to keep our eye on that. I don't want to just let him go easily through that problem and pretend like it's nothing.
Okay, so there's some that are kind of not so well known. I want to talk a bit about Doug Burgum, Interior Secretary. And the reason that I'm asking about that one is because Nevada is 87% federally owned land, which comes under the Department of the Interior, which is mm-hmm. Bureau of Land Management. So there you go.
Yeah, I'm somewhat ambivalent. One of the things that he'll be able to do, he's been very good on energy policy, is deal with these leases, this lease issue. He understands it in and out. North Dakota has, I think, something like 35% federal mm-hmm. lands. Colorado, where I spend a lot of time, desperately needs some help with the leases. You know, there's this in situ extraction process that they've been trying, that both Marathon and Chevron, or Shell and Chevron, have been trying to perfect over in Colorado. There's a Saudi Arabia of of oil there that you have to use a heating process to try to bring out. That is, it's been a bugaboo bear to try to get anywhere in that effort. And so this could be very positive for that. And of course, Colorado has somewhere in the line of 45-50% of land that's BLM managed. So a lot of I totally, you know, Sharon, I've done some political work in Nevada. It just drives me nuts how the federal government really runs the state. It's an outrage. Doug Burgum seems to be pretty decent there. He's not the most conservative governor of North Dakota, frankly. But he's good on energy policy. So I think the lease issue will be a net positive. I think that's why Donald Trump chose him to go to Interior, where I'd have thrown Kristi Noem, to be candid, rather than DHS. That's maybe my absolute least favorite pick, because I was around Kristi Noem on Capitol Hill when I worked for Tim Heel's camp and for a brief time with Thomas Massie, and she is not as conservative as a lot of people think. She was very good on the COVID issue. I want to give her a deep amount of credit for that, because she did not shut down her state, and that was a fantastic move and courageous move on her part. But don't rely on her to be the most conservative person. Anyway, Doug Burgum, we'll see. I think the lease issue is good.
That's the one.
Uh-oh.
What happened here?
I don't know.
We're back.
Okay. Yeah,
we're back. We all together?
Yeah, that's editable.
All right. Okay. Well, you know, there's no Westerners.
Right.
On his picks, there's nobody from the West. Is that because there's no conservatives in the West? Is that a way he feels? Or we aren't to the bottom of the list yet? What do you think about that? Nobody from the West, I mean, they're west of the Mississippi, but they're certainly not west of the Rockies.
So, yeah, I agree with you. Having lived in the West, I totally sympathize with that. North Dakota, I brought up the issue with North Dakota and Interior. They are dealing with very similar issues in North Dakota to what we have experienced in the Rockies and west of the Rockies. But yeah, it would be good. To be candid, there aren't a lot of conservatives that you can rely on. Who are the pro-Trumpers? And he probably didn't.
Well, there's me.
Sharon, you got to stay right here with me.
That's a good point. I guess I totally messed that one up. I should have said it. I love you to death, and I should have brought that up. And my bad. I'm gonna take a hit on that one and say, yeah, you're right. I would
okay.
Love to bring
well,
you
that's
up.
You know.
I'm not gonna let you dig this hole any deeper, either one of you. We're gonna go to a commercial break. We are coming to you from the Conservative Commandos Network studios and around the world on the internet with TalkStream Live, iHeartRadio, TuneIn, NetTalk America, and AM/FM 24/7.
Our guest this segment is Jim Paff. He's the president of the Conservative Caucus, and we're discussing Trump's cabinet picks. Hey, Jim, thank you for holding through that break. We appreciate your time. And, you know, my wife said to me the other day, she says, wouldn't it be great if Donald Trump picked Sharon? And I says, do you know what you're talking about? You're going to take Sharon away from me? You cannot do that. But it would be my loss, but certainly the country's gain. Jim, is it important? Would it be important to have somebody from the West? How
Absolutely.
Is that?
No, well, the thing is, having lived in the West for most of the last 24 years, in Colorado in particular, and Arizona, it amazes me how, and having grown up in the East, it amazes me how little people in the East know about what is really at stake in the West. For example, I don't think anyone in the East understands the situation with the Colorado River and the multi-state compact related to the Colorado River. It is a very important but very complicated structure that requires tweaking all the time, and it's a significant factor in the West. No one understands that whole Colorado
River. Would that fall to the Interior Department?
Well, the compact is organized by the states, and they negotiate through things. But Interior, I think, does have some say in that, and Congress does too. They can make tweaks and adjustments to it. The other thing is, as Sharon brought up earlier, this 87% of land in Nevada that is run by BLM. We've had major disputes, like to the point of people dying over disputes on ranching land. I don't think people understand how the ranching land situation works out that way as well. So people in the east of the Mississippi, it's a totally different world. You need to have been in the area to understand it. And forest roads, forest management, there's so much. So yeah, I think having someone from the West is really important. Sadly, the West, for the most part, remains pretty far left. And we need to break that stranglehold. I think in Nevada and Arizona, I was in Arizona recently, I was talking to some folks there. I do believe that actually this election was a good re-beginning of asserting those conservative principles. Nevada's always been a very liberty-minded state, and Arizona as well, too. The Republican Party in each state has been a challenge. Of one of my real good friends, Bob Ruckman, used to be the Clark County chairman, and really struggled with the rest of the state party. I know that was a challenge for him. You know, there's a real opportunity to get things back in line with the Donald Trump leadership. So yes, I do agree. We need people from the West running Interior, because that's where all the land is. There's hardly anything, like, it's monuments type stuff. It's battlefields in the East. It's real working land constantly in the West that really matters to people, has a big impact on the economy even. So,
Jim, you know what? I had an observation. I don't know if it's just me, but it seems like this, his pick so far has almost been like an all-star team. When you go down this list of his picks, it's no one that's really unfamiliar, that people are unfamiliar with. I mean, these people are people that have been around. They've been stalwart conservatives. And by the way, I love it. I love it when they pick somebody like a Matt Gaetz or Pete Hegseth, and the left, the heads of the left explode. I say, oh, my yeah. Gosh, you know, that proves that Donald Trump made a great pick. But, and you know, I wanted to make a comment about Linda McMahon, WWE, a huge, huge, multi-billion-dollar company, and for her to be a part of that, and you know, I have no problem with her. I have no problem with anybody that has that kind of a business experience who's willing to take a pay cut and go in government. And mm-hmm. I think we see this with Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, pitching in with this. I mean, I want to get your observations. Do you also see this as the all-star team for a cabinet?
Yeah, no, I really do. Mostly because everyone he's chosen is competent to perform the task that's there. By the way, you didn't mention Howard Lutnick, now over Commerce Department. By the way, Commerce Department we need to eliminate. But if you want to manage the things that Donald Trump is planning on doing right now, that's a great, another billionaire, great guy who's proven himself.
Well, there's a lot of them we haven't mentioned. I mean, yeah. This list, I mean, you go down this list, starting with Susie Wiles, Marco Rubio, Matt Gaetz, Robert Kennedy, Elsie Stefanik, Tom Holman. I mean, I thought that was a great pick.
That is going to be a fantastic pick. I mean, he's
Pete Hegseth, I think, is another great pick.
Absolutely.
I mean, go down this list.
Well, listen, oh yeah, Sean Duffy. Even let me pick up on the Pete Hegseth thing. This one's really interesting. He understands the military. He served. He was a National Guard. Served in the National Guard. Achieved the rank of major. But he was on 3 employments as an infantry officer. He received 2 Bronze Stars. He has been working in the veterans community extensively since he left the military, and he's got a BA from Princeton and an MA from Harvard, which all these radical leftists, that's the minimum required. Well, he's got a Harvard degree, so yeah, he's qualified. And yeah. There have been some crap. And this is the other thing. In contrast to the people that Barack Obama chose, even exactly. The people George W. Bush chose, there are a lot of incompetent people who really screwed up badly and harmed the American people, who had all the credentials that we're supposed to believe are good for America. And it's a bunch of bullcrap that's happening. You got the liar Eric Holder, who you've got from the IRS and all the weaponization of the IRS that was used. I mean, I can go on and on and on about the failures of previous people. Every one of these people are America First people, not just because they support Donald Trump, but because they really do put America first. Pete Hegseth is a really exciting one because he's not bought into the bureaucracy of the DOD in a time when we've got to extract DEI, which he's talked about extensively, and we have to get the focus once again on the military force being competent to win battles. Not that we need to be using it everywhere, but if we ever have to use it, there needs to be a readiness that, frankly, does not exist right now.
You know, Jim, the other thing that all these, I believe all of these are Donald Trump's picks. They were not, for instance, in his first administration, I think a lot of those picks were the RNC's picks. We know how troublesome a lot of the picks were. And the other thing, I don't see a lot of holdovers from his first administration, just a couple or a few, but not a lot of holdovers here. And another pick that I love, and I think it says a lot about our relationship with Israel, and that is Mike Huckabee, a former governor, a minister being named ambassador to Israel, of all places, you know, where Christianity started. You know, I thought that was a great not just a symbolic pick, but a great solid pick.
Yeah, as a former governor and someone who's run for president two different times, he has the skill and capability to handle diplomatic relations. And let's be honest, even though we're great friends with Israel, there are real challenges in that diplomatic relation that happen behind the scenes that no one ever hears about. And we work them out as friends, but they can be pretty touchy. I'm telling you, Mike Huckabee is very capable to handle those situations. He understands them because he's been following the issue as well, too. Yeah, I think it's a great pick. And just from that standpoint of having Christians and Jews who care about one another through this relationship, to have that connection, very, very useful. And I'm that one is maybe one. It's definitely one of the most exciting ones. Absolutely.
And a man that's been to Israel many, many, many times. Hey, Jim. We want to thank you for joining us. I know you're on the road. I'm not going to hold you too long because you know that. I would say, hey, Jim, you have more time, but I'm not going to do that today because I know you're on the road. But I want to thank you so much for joining us. But before you go, give us the 411 on the Conservative Caucus.
So we are going to, this next year, 2025, immediately here, we have got to be working on election integrity issues. The Conservative Caucus is going to be taking some of these up. There are other great organizations that are doing some things too. Tom Fitton's organization, I actually just was talking to him this weekend. They're doing some things. But we need to build this momentum to get our elections right. We do not have American elections right now.
Well,
we
agree, have agree.
Mark Elias elections. We want to change that. Democrats run our elections. It's got to stop. So if anyone wants to find out what we're doing, they need to go to theconservativecaucus.org, and they can learn how to be great grassroots leaders. We have an entire university of stuff right there if they click on the top right-hand side and sign up. We are also going to be developing our 50-state grassroots effort, get them ready for 2026, and then we'll be ramping up. By the way, our number one overarching goal is to defend Donald Trump. We helped him get elected with an aggregate $8 million of spending in independent expenditures this cycle. We want to back him up in every way we can. So every MAGA, America First, pro-Trump person, if you're interested in how to be effective and make that go even further, go to theconservativecaucus.org.
Jim Path, president of the Conservative Caucus. Jim, thank you so much for joining us. Take care. God bless and be safe on the roads. Don't do interviews while you're driving, Jim.
You convinced me.
But, you know, we appreciate you. Take care and God bless.
I appreciate both of you so much. So thank you very much for your kindness to have me on.
Anytime. And you are listening to and watching the Conservative Commandos with Sharon Angle. I'm Rick Trader. Go nowhere. Sharon and I'll be back with more news and comments right after this break.
Because of your overwhelming support, our 1488 MyPillow has been one of the biggest sales in MyPillow history. I couldn't think of a better way to say thank you than to extend our wholesale pricing through Christmas. Get a classic standard MyPillow for only $14.88. Upgrade to a queen size, just $18.88. King size, only a dollar more. Get my body pillows for only $29.88. And ready? Multi-use MyPillows, only $9.88. It's perfect time to stock up for Christmas gifts for everyone on your list. Go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code to take advantage of our wholesale pricing, including my classic standard MyPillow is only $14.88. But that's not all. I'm so confident you're going to love our classic MyPillows that I'm going to extend my 60-day money-back guarantee until March 1st, 2025. Plus, orders over $75 ship absolutely free.
And welcome back. Welcome back to the Conservative Commandos Radio Show with Sharon Angle, and I'm Rick Trader. Coming to you from the MyPillow studios, the MyStore studios of the AUN-TV network. And, you know, next week is Thanksgiving. It's a late Thanksgiving, Christmas season, and I want to remind you about MyPillow.com and about MyStore.com. You know, I want you to follow the advice of Barack Obama when he said, reward your friends and punish your enemies. So if you're going to order something, if your first step is Amazon, make your first step MyStore.com. Go to MyStore.com. Look at the great products and the great vendors that Mike Lindell is dealing with at MyStore.com. These are conservatives. Mike Lindell is a conservative. And you need to support fellow conservatives. So I say, go to MyPillow.com, go to MyStore.com, go to MyPillow.com for the pillows, towels, sheets, blankets, all that stuff. Go to MyStore.com for everything else. And don't forget, help support the Conservative Commandos. Help support the AUN-TV network by using our promotion code, AUN-TV, AUN-TV. Use our promotion code, save 30, 50, 60% or more, sometimes a lot more when Mike has his specials. But that helps us to keep this show going. It helps us keep the AUN-TV network going. Maybe starting next week, we'll show you some of the great things you can get at my store and at MyPillow. But support Mike Lindell. Support us here on the AUN-TV network. Support Conservative Commandos. Again, MyPillow.com, MyStore.com, promotion code AUNTV. Sharon, thank our guests, please.
It's my pleasure to thank our guest, Ruthie Bloom, who is our first guest, former advisor at the office of the Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and an award-winning columnist with the Jewish News Syndicate. She is a resident of Tel Aviv, and she talked to us about peace in this war with Israel and what that looks like. Mm-hmm. She says surrender. I have to agree. Our second guest, Jim Paff, who is the president of the Conservative Caucus, he talked to us about the Trump cabinet picks, went through and gave us the reasons why each one was thoughtfully picked, not just because they have an IOU in with the Trump administration for bringing out the vote. It's always very interesting because we always think that these picks have to do with being friends with the new president, but not necessarily. Many of them are very much capable and able to do the job that he's asking them to do. So we want to thank him for that.
Very capable, and not only capable, I really do think that they're allies of Donald Trump. But for right now, we are out of time. That means that we got to run and we got to go. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you tomorrow. That's going to be on TV and on radio.
Your cruise is booked, but why rush to the port when you can start your vacation early? The legendary Cocoa Beach is your ultimate pre-cruise paradise, just minutes from Port Canaveral. Stretch out on sandy shores, surf some waves, or kayak with dolphins before you set sail. Need a hotel? Cocoa Beach has plenty, plus shuttle packages to get you to the ship on time. Why wait for the ship to start having fun? Book your adventure now at legendarycocoabeach.com.